Hi, it's the Bob and Rob Show. This is Bob.
And this is Rob.
Hey.
Watch, we Rob, is there a bee in here?
Oh, whoa. Hey.
We're recording, but yeah. Boy, gotta watch those bees. Is that a honey bee?
I think it is, yeah.
Because that's what we're talking about today.
Right. Well, bees or honey?
We're talking about honey.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about honey, Rob.
Sure.
Can I eat your honey?
I know. Yeah, honey is a sweet and viscous fluid produced by honeybees.
Viscous means thick?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some other species, but it's derived from the nectar of flowers.
Do you like honey?
I do, yeah. It's good. That's
a really distinct taste.
Yeah, do you know why? It's really good when you're climbing. Because it goes straight into your bloodstream, much more though than, say, sugar or chocolate.
Does it? I didn't know that.
Gives you energy straight away.
Oh, really?
It's good.
Faster than sugar.
Yeah.
Wow, that must... So honey is, yeah, significantly sweeter than table sugar and has attractive chemical properties for baking.
Right.
And honey has a distinctive flavor, which I mentioned, which leads some people to prefer it, actually, over sugar or... other sweeteners.
Yeah.
And it does contain trace amounts of several vitamins and minerals.
Mm.
And, but it's not a significant source of vitamins or minerals.
Right.
So you should still eat your spinach.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah. Honey's laid down by bees as a food source. So in the cold weather or when the food sources are scarce.
Yeah.
The bees use their stored honey as their sources of energy.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So they use
never thought about that, actually. But
yeah. It's cool. So, you know, they've got a hive.
Yeah.
And so people now, they've been able to semi-domesticate these insects using the hives. Yeah, in the hive, there are three types of bee. There's the single queen bee, so she's just one of a kind. She's, you know, at the top of the hierarchy.
Sounds like my wife.
Yeah. A seasonally variable number of drone bees.
Sounds like us.
Yeah, they fertilize the new queens.
Ooh, actually, maybe that.
Yeah.
Not much of that anymore.
Yeah, likewise. And then the rest are the worker bees.
Maybe we're the worker bees, actually.
Right, between 20 to 40,000 or so.
20 to 40,000 in a hive, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. Huh. So you don't want to get stung by them.
No.
Yeah, the worker bees raise the larvae, and they collect the nectar that will become honey in the hives.
The nectar.
Yeah, so they're the ones that go out, they collect the sugar-rich flower nectar, and then they return to the hive.
You might never eat honey again, though.
Oh, really?
Once I explain this, but in the hive, the bees use their stomachs.
Wow.
They call them honey stomachs.
Uh-huh.
To ingest and regurgitate. In other words, throw up,
vomit
the nectar a number of times until it's partially digested.
Ooh.
And then it's stored in the honeycomb. So really, honey is bee barf. Bee vomit. Right.
Yeah, that doesn't sound...
it doesn't sound very good at all, but that's apparently what it is.
Right.
They throw up
the
nectar.
Mm. So, okay.
Or regurgitate.
Yeah.
Same meaning, basically.
But after the final regurgitation, the honeycomb is left unsealed, apparently.
Mm.
So the bees inside the hive fan their wings, creating a strong draft across the honeycomb, which enhances the evaporation of much of the water from the nectar.
So that's kind of what thickens it.
Right, yeah. Mm. It raises the sugar concentration
and
it prevents fermentation.
Oh.
Yeah, so the ripe honey, as removed from the hive by the beekeeper, has a long shelf life.
Yeah, most microorganisms, micro means small, they don't grow in honey because it has the low water content.
Right.
But the one thing is, if you've got a child, an infant, don't feed your small child honey, because it does contain some dormant bacteria.
Oh, right.
May contain some dormant bacteria, which can be dangerous to infants. So, Rob, you shouldn't eat it.
Cheers, yeah. But, yeah, I like it in my... when I have a cold, if I have a sore throat, stick a big dollop, a spoonful in a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, like lemon tea.
Yeah, so it goes down very well.
Yeah, we had a beehive when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I think my parents experimented and had it for maybe 2 years. And then One day there was a bear came down from the mountains and just ripped it to pieces.
What, it was in your garden?
Well, we had 10 acres.
Whoa, okay.
10 acres is pretty big. That's it's like, big, what, yeah. 5 hectares
yeah, that's
of
a lot.
Land. And we kept it right on the edge of our land.
Right, right.
Pretty far away from our house.
Okay. So yeah, wow.
That's why the bear just came down and ripped it to pieces. He might not have done that if it was closer to our home.
Mm, wasn't Winnie the Pooh, was it?
I think it was Tigger. We should explain that's a children's story. And sure. Those are characters in the children's story, yeah. Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. So, yeah, a main effect of bees collecting the nectar to make honey is pollination.
Yes, very important.
Yeah, crucial for flowering plants.
Yes.
Yeah, and so the beekeeper encourages overproduction of honey within the hive so that the excess can be taken without endangering the bees.
Those beekeepers, they do an important job.
Yeah, and yeah, they have to wear a lot of protective clothing.
Yes.
It's pretty dangerous. If, you know, if a lot of bees sting you in one go.
Ouch.
Yeah, definitely.
Bee Weaver Apiaries in Navasota, Texas began in 1888 when Zacharias Weaver and his bride Florence received 10 hives of bees as a wedding gift. Zacharias was a farmer and merchant, but immediately took a great interest in bees and rapidly made them his main source of livelihood. Today, the business is operated by the fourth and fifth generations of the family. Binford Weaver, with his wife Benny Lou and son Danny, proudly specialize in the production of 100% pure honey to serve customers all across the United States.
The Weaver family has been in the bee business for almost 120 years now, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
Well, I can't imagine he's doing anything else either.
Beekeepers, like the Weavers, have worked incredibly hard for many generations to harvest and produce the pure, high-quality honey that consumers trust and love. So read your labels to make sure you're buying 100% pure honey. Visit www.honey.com.
Okay, well, boy, since we're talking about honey, I thought a good phrasal verb would be sweeten up.
Right.
Which literally means to make sweet or sweeter.
Right, right, right.
So, Rob, would you like to sweeten your cereal up with a little honey?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, yeah, I would. And also, sweeten up means to try to persuade someone to help you or agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, by giving them gifts or by being nice to them.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, when you're trying to sell a used car to someone,
yeah,
first try to sweeten them up by complimenting them somehow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like a little bit like brown nosing or buttering up too.
Right, yeah.
Butter up is a, I don't know if you say that in the UK, but that's kind of a that's an American, is it an American?
I think we use that too, yeah. Okay, butter someone up. Yeah, we do, yeah.
Okay, well, some idioms. Honey. Do you say, do you often call your wife honey?
Occasionally.
Or salt. No. In the U.S., a lot of times you'll call your girlfriend or your wife honey. Yeah. So, for example, honey, could you fold the clothes, please?
Right. Or if you're a girl or wife, you might call your boyfriend or husband.
Exactly. It's honey. An affectionate term for a man or a woman.
Yeah, I guess perhaps the U.K., we probably say dear, maybe. Oh, we dear? Say honey, too, or sweetheart.
Okay.
So, yeah, honey, could you fold the clothes, please?
No, you do it.
That's what I usually get. Yeah, and the land of milk and honey.
Oh, that's an idiom as well. Yeah.
The land of milk and honey. That's a place where life is pleasant and people are very happy.
Yes, well.
Is that from the Bible?
It is from the Bible.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
And an example that you'll often hear, for example, many poor immigrants have looked at the United States as the land of milk and honey.
Right, right. So, yeah, they think it's the land of opportunity.
Yeah, and in the past it was. I'm not so sure if that's true anymore, but hope it is.
Yeah, okay.
And our bonus idiom is honeymoon period.
Right, cool, yeah, honeymoon period.
You seem happy with your new job, but remember, you're still in the honeymoon period.
Right, cool, nice example, Bob. So the answer to that honeymoon period is going to appear in the study guide.
But Rob, I want you to know,
Yeah.
Our honeymoon period will never end. Okay. Yeah. Ancient Japanese English study secret.
Ancient Japanese English study secrets.
Well, today we just want to mention for our tip that language learning is also about intuition. Going with your gut.
Right.
We got some of these tips from the website askoxford.com and thought we would share them with you.
Cool. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, guesswork. Guesswork is an important strategy in learning a new language. And you will probably be pleasantly surprised at how often you're right.
Guessing. Yeah. We do that a lot in Japanese.
Yeah. 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 It is a very important strategy.
So, for example?
When listening to recorded material...
Like the Bob and Rob show.
Yeah, sure. You're not expected to understand everything first time round. But if you play the same piece several times, you will most probably understand something new each time.
Like a different level of understanding.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so learn to make maximum use of all the clues you can pick up. For example, what do the speakers sound like? Happy? Angry? Calm, or sarcastic, like Bob. Usually,
snobby, like Rob.
Right? Yeah. So,
also, I think another way to guess, to use your intuition, is if you're studying a European language. A lot of the words have a common origin.
Sure. Yeah.
Which will help build your knowledge more quickly, so you can identify patterns.
Right,
Between even English and other languages like French, and Italian, German. Just an example, a lot of the French equivalents of English words end in L-Y or M-E-T.
Right.
Also, just to note that a lot of the, the Romance languages are based on Latin.
Yes.
And because English is borrowed so much from these languages as well, a lot of the words are the same, pronounced differently.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'll find that, it's quite related in the same way that Japanese and Chinese, by way of kanji, the Chinese characters are very similar.
Right, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of crossover. So, it's very often the case that you can guess the meaning of a word by simply using a knowledge of other languages.
So, again, being analytical is important.
Yeah,
and trying to use the what would you say the left side of your brain, which is the analytical part, to understand what you're hearing or what you're reading. Also, the right side of your brain is important, the artistic side that guesses and the intuitive side. So make sure to use that side as well.
Yeah, and if you do have a hunch about something. If you guess about something, then also be confident in your guess.
Yes. And even if you're wrong, just pretend you're right.
Well, if you are wrong, don't worry about it.
Just like George Bush.
Right, yeah.
Okay, well, what should we do next, Rob?
Let's move along to some Both Sides of the Pond.
Got some sweet words here since we are talking about honey.
Yeah, right, cool.
Do you say whipping?
Whipping?
Whipping cream?
Whipping cream.
You know, like cream that you put on cake or ice cream?
Oh, right.
Whipping cream.
Okay, not cream that you, tie to a board and then slap and smack and whip and...
I'll put a laugh track in for you, Rob.
Thank you, Bob. No, we don't say whipping cream. Well, we could do, but we generally say double cream.
Okay, you say double. You want to hear a joke?
Sure.
It's really a corny joke, but why are cooks so cruel?
I don't know. Why are cooks so cruel?
Because they beat the eggs and whip the cream.
Hey, I like it. I like it. That's pretty good.
That's
Bob.
A pun, right?
That is a good puns. Joke. Yeah, nice pun.
Whip the cream and beat the eggs.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Because beat means to, beat eggs, but also,
To get them ready to make a cake.
Yes.
Yeah, cool one.
Do you say sucker? As in the sweet candy, like a lollipop?
Sweet candy. We don't say sucker. No, we say lollipop though.
Okay.
But we don't say sucker.
How about, there's a kind of sugar that comes from sugar cane. It's a little bit, I mean, obviously sugar comes from sugar cane, but it's kind of a viscous, dark syrup called molasses.
Right, right.
Do you say molasses?
No, we call that treacle.
Treacle?
And treacle on... Oh,
sounds
treacle.
Like a...
Treacle pudding's good, man.
Mm. You say treacle?
Yeah,
wow.
It's nice.
Yeah, we say molasses. That have really dark, syrupy sugar.
No, molasses, I've not... Yeah, mm-hmm. I think... No, I don't know that word. I certainly don't use it.
Okay. How about you go to the carnival mm-hmm. and you get some cotton candy?
Well, in Britain, we go to the fair and we buy candy floss.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You don't say carnival?
No, we call them fairs or fun fairs.
We can say fair as well.
Mm-hmm.
Fair okay. or carnival.
Right, right. Okay, so some announcements.
All right.
Yeah. Any announcements?
Yeah. I guess. Yes. Please become a member.
Yeah. And that way you're going to get 4 shows a month.
Yes.
Yeah. Plus all the extra goodies that come
yes.
with that.
Plus just being able to say that you're a member of the Bob and Rob
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
Also, make sure to write a review on iTunes if you can. I know we keep badgering you. Badgering means to... You know, keep pestering you
right, yeah,
to do it, but it really helps our show. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it.
And it helps your writing skills as well, of course.
Yes. So some quotations today. The first one is by Dale Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you want to gather honey, don't kick over the beehive.
That makes sense. Yeah. Mm. Right. And here's another quote by Benjamin Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
He says, tart words make no friends. A spoonful or honey... tart words make no friends.
Mm-hmm.
A spoonful of honey will catch more flies than a gallon of vinegar.
That's a good saying. Mm. Yeah, mm. yeah, all be right. positive.
Yeah.
Definitely. So today our song mm-hmm. is called Honey Drippin' Baby.
Ooh. Right. Sounds a bit sexy.
Yeah. It's by Johnny Nicholas.
Right.
And we got the song.
We got the song from music.poncho.com.
He says, I got a honey dripping baby. She keeps me satisfied.
I bet she does.
Boy, I'm getting hot.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, yeah. Better go check the beehive.
Yeah. I've got a bit of a sore throat. I think I'm going to go and put some honey in my cup of tea.
Okay, you do that, and we'll see you back here next week, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
got a honey dripping baby. She's dripping honey all the time. I got a honey dripping baby. She's dripping honey all the time. Yes, I know that she loves me. She's so sweet on my mind.